This is a moment that we've been waiting for a while. And I just want you to notice that as these young people come up this morning, they kind of put us adults to shame. There's a bunch of them, and they are singing out this morning. I want you to make welcome Aftershock as they come to sing for us this morning.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men."
Oh,
precious. There's a future in this place, you know. It takes lots of guts to get up and do what those kids do, because they don't do this all the time. And it took a lot of guts for them to get up here. And that touched my heart. I don't know if you can tell it or not, but it touched my heart. I was talking to a lady this week in my shop, and I was telling her about the Christmas play and the little star that was born over here the other night. And all the, she said, "My goodness, you still have Christmas plays? I miss that so much. I go to a church of 600 or 700 people, and we don't have Christmas plays, and we don't have a youth choir." She said, "I'm just blown away." I said, "We are too, but we're having a great time doing it." I want the ladies' ensemble to come up. They're going to sing for you now. But I tell you, praise the Lord this morning. We are blessed among all people this morning to be in His house. There's nothing any greater than to be in the house of the Lord and to see these young people worship Him. They could be out anywhere. You know, a lot of kids last night spent the night in a club or shooting up drugs. And our kids were here at church wrapping gifts for needy children. I'm blown away. Also takes a lot of guts to do what Cindy Runyon just did, too. I want, just before the pastor comes, I want these ladies to do a song. If you were not here Friday night and heard them sing, they sang a new song. Can y'all sing "Every Praise for Us"? Just before he comes, I want you to hear the words of this song as they sing it.
About all the good things that God has done for you. The good, the big, and the small, and all the praise belongs to Him this morning. To our God, every word of worship with one accord, every praise every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Let's sing it one more time. Every praise.
I get to preach here. Praise the Lord. You know, it's exciting to be a part of Hiram First Baptist Church. I just praise the Lord for what he's doing here. And young people, I want you to know I really appreciate that, enjoyed that. And truly my heart's desire and prayer is that God will bless y'all real good. And, you know, folks, I think the youth is very important in the church. I think everybody's important. Sometimes you go to a church and the young people's important, but the old people not. Right? Sometimes you go to a church and the old people's important and the young people's not. Then sometimes you go to a church, you feel like if you're not 25 to 35 and drive a Corvette, you ain't got a place. Everybody's got a place at Hiram First Baptist Church. Amen? Now, most importantly, we want God to have a place. They said every praise is to our God. You know it's about Him. It's not about us. And we're here to exalt His name. And I just want to remind you, I'm not going to preach necessarily about Christmas today, but I want to remind you that Christmas is about Christ. Okay, Easter is about Christ. The word history is His story. Okay, it's about Him. It's not about us. I'm just glad that He's letting me be here and be a part of it. I'm just glad that I'm saved. I'm just glad that I know who He is. Amen. You got your Bible. We're going to read out of Matthew chapter number 16. And I'm going to try to bring to you a message that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks here. It's, who do you say that Jesus is? You know, people, it's kind of like today, they want to keep Christmas. But here's why people want to keep Christmas. They want to keep Christmas because they love shopping. They want to keep Christmas because they love to give presents. They like the decorations. You know, down there, it's getting to where it's real funny working for a big corporation. You start getting these Christmas cards, and they want to tell you Merry Christmas with all that's in them, but they just don't feel like they can. It's Happy Holidays. It's peace with Legos. I mean, they got me last year. They made the Christmas card, trying to figure out a new way to do it, and they made a dove out of Legos, and they wrote peace. I just laugh when I see them. It's about Jesus. Okay, it's about Jesus Christ coming into the world. Is it a strange way? Yes. Do we understand it all? No. But folks, this is God's word. This is God's plan and God's given it to us and it's true. And I'm so thankful that we have it. Amen. Would you stand to your feet and let's read in Matthew chapter number 16. We're going to be reading in the 13th verse down through the 18th verse. And we're going to look at a question. Who do you say that Jesus is? In Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful, God, to be in Your house. Lord, we pray that You'd just come in the midst. Lord, You'd touch our hearts, our minds, our lips. Give us, Lord, exactly those things that You'd have us to say. God, if there's anybody here that don't know You, that don't know for sure that they've been saved by the grace of God, Lord, my first heart's desire and my prayer today is that before they leave here, they would know for sure. God, I want people to be welcome, Lord, to come down to these altars and pray. And God, I want to see people get saved. Lord, I want to see our church grow. And our people grow. Lord, I pray You take these words and You, Lord, make that soil and that of their heart, Lord, fertile that they'd be able to receive this word. And Lord, with everything that's in us, we want to lift You up and not ourselves because, Lord, this is about You today and not us. We give You the glory, the praise, and the honor for all You've done and all You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, the question is, who do you say that Jesus is? You know, there are a lot of opinions today, and you know, of course, with the internet, you can Google it, and you can find out what just about anybody thinks about who Jesus is. You know, and today and time that we're living in, there are things that come through, and they try to compare Christ to one of these things. But I want to tell you some things that Jesus is not. Jesus is not a fable. A fable is a story that's passed down that did not happen. But the historical evidence to support the life of Christ is absolutely overwhelming. You know, we don't question whether or not Alexander the Great existed, or Napoleon, or many of those. And we'll take sometimes and we'll look at the secular writings of people and we'll take it as gospel and of truth. But folks, historically, I want to tell you that there's more evidence that Christ lived and that Christ lived the life that the Bible says that he lives than there is for any other man. Archaeological discoveries have proved it over and over again. Secular writings have proved the Word of God to be true. There are things that are written in the Word of God that people say, well, because the Bible's the only place it's written, it can't be accepted. And then the archaeologist's spade will turn over another stone and they'll realize that the Bible is true after all. He's not a fable. The next thing is he's not a fairy tale. A fairy tale is wishful thinking. It's not reality. It's too good to be true. Now, when you stop and think about what grace means, what it means to understand the grace of God and have God's grace poured on you, when you consider it, it seems too good to be true. It seems too good to be true that a God would leave the portals of heaven and come to earth and die on a cross like a criminal between two thieves so that you could stand right before God. But he did that. Now, it seems too good to be true, but folks, he's not a fairy tale. And I want to tell you something else he's not. He's not a fad. Well, what is a fad? A fad is a passing preference or choice that is confined to a period of time. You know, in my lifetime, I've seen fads come and go. I've seen people get involved with this and people get involved with that. I've seen people get concerned about things, and I've even done it in my own life. And I look back, and all of a sudden, a few years pass, and you realize all those things that you were so excited about, all those things that you cared so much about, they're gone. Those things that you worried about, just like the saying is, it came to pass, it came to pass. But folks, Jesus is not a fad. One time I was on a job site, and this was years ago. I was just a teenager working in construction. I had a Bible laying on my dash of my truck, and a guy passed by, and he saw my Bible. And he said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes. This is the only thing he said to me. He said, time will tell. Well, folks, here I am today. Time has told. It's not a fad. He's the Lord of my life. Okay, he's not a fad. Now, I want to tell you something else. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there's one God and one mediator between God and men. Jesus is not an option. You know, a lot of people say, well, he's just another way. It's just another way to get to God. That's not what the Bible says. Now, we're either going to accept him as who the Bible says that he is, and even who he says that he is, or we're going to put him in his place with the other lunatics of the world. But I say that not because I don't understand and believe who he is, but I want you to understand something. Jesus has no equal. He's the Son of God. He is not a way. He is the way. He is the only way. Amen? Now, I want us to look at a couple of things. We want to see who do you say Jesus is, but what does the Word of God say about Jesus Christ? You ever stop and think about that? What did the Word say about him? And then what did he say about himself? And we'll get to that. But what does the Word say about who Jesus is? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, folks, that means there is no other way. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way. Now, do we believe the Word of God? Sometimes people say, well, you know, when you believe the Bible, it's circular reasoning. You see, here's the problem we have today. People are getting so educated that they think they're too smart for God. But the Bible talks about in the last days they would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, there would be a way that would seem right in the man's eyes, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We're so smart that we've taken our Christian schools like Harvard, and we've become to where someone who says they're a theologian doesn't even believe the Word of God anymore. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says he's the Son of God, and the Bible says he has no equal. Now, it was written over 2,000 years in three different languages by over 20 authors, men who were moved on by the Holy Spirit of God as he spake to them, as he breathed life to them and told them what to write. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One. That's what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus. It says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now that's what the Bible says. Now folks, I'm going to stop right here for just a minute, because this is one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. I tell you why it excites me so much. When I see them mocking, when I see them making fun, God just gives me a vision of one day the power of God is going to be shown on this earth, and every man is going to bow. You know, when he came in a little baby, and he was in that manger, and he was there, and you know, the power of God was in that place. You know, the angels began to sing, and the shepherds were led by the star at night to the place where he lay. But when he comes again, he's not coming that way. He's going to come in power and majesty, and when he speaks, there will no power not bow down to him. Every kingdom of the world is going to bow. That's what the Word says about Jesus. Well, what did Jesus say about himself? You know how folks today, they say, well, he's just another way. Well, he's this or he's that. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Number one, Jesus said that he was the way and the truth and the life. That's what he said. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, that's what he said. Does that make him the Son of God? If it doesn't, it makes him a liar, okay? You got to stop and think about it for just a minute. Sometimes people, they just want to stand on the edge and just accept a little bit of this part of the Bible and a little bit of this part of the Bible, but you cannot make God into something you want him to be. You have to believe what God's Word says about him. Jesus said that he had power to forgive sins. You find that reference in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Jesus said he came to seek that which was lost. You find that reference in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Jesus said he would rise again from the grave. You find that reference in Matthew chapter 26, verse 32. Jesus said that all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. That in Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus said that he was the Christ. And you find that in Mark chapter 14, verse 62. So we look at this and we say, well, who do men say that he is? And then we look at what the Word of God says and we look at what Jesus said. But what do some say? What did they say? Well, they said, well, some say he's John the Baptist. Some say John the Baptist. Well, why John the Baptist? Because John the Baptist had been preaching and he had preached with power. Remember, John the Baptist came out of the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey, and he preached, and when he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was cast into prison for preaching against the sin in Herod's life, and when he was cast into prison, he was eventually beheaded. And when Jesus came preaching and the power that he preached in, people begin to say that John has risen from the dead. Because they saw the power that Jesus preached in. That's what some said. Then there were those, they said, well, it's Elijah or Elias the prophet. Elijah lived from 740 to 690 B.C. And he was a prophet who told that Jesus would be born of a virgin birth. You find the particular prophecy in Isaiah chapter number 7 and Isaiah chapter number 9. Elijah told that he would come. And the reason people said it's Elijah, the same thing. It was because when they heard him, there was so much power on him that they began to see and remember those words. But it wasn't Elijah. And it wasn't John the Baptist. And there were others who said, well, it's Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah the prophet. He's come. Well, Jeremiah lived from 627 to 586 B.C. He's one of the major prophets. You read his writings and you see that God's hand was on him and you see that he had power with God. But some of these people who said, when they asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" they understood the writings in their mind, but they didn't receive them into their heart. And sometimes when people come into the house of God, week after week, they're the same way. They have a form of godliness, but they have no personal relationship with the Savior. You've got to say, "He's Lord of my life," for Him to be Lord. He's not John the Baptist. It's not Elijah, and it's not Jeremiah. And some said, "Well, maybe he's one of the prophets." But I want you to stop and think about something for just a minute. By calling Jesus a prophet, you deny his deity. He's not a prophet. He's God in the flesh. And he came down and he took upon himself the form and the of a servant, of an humble man, so that he would be able to go through this life and experience the things that he experienced and fulfill the ministry for you and I, so that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, because we have a God that lived for 33 years on this earth without sin, that can stand before God the Father and make intercession for you and I with groanings that we cannot. He's not a prophet. He's deity. By saying that he's a prophet, deny his deity and you deny the fact that he is God in the flesh. By calling Jesus a prophet, you lower him to the level of all other gods, and that's little g. You know, there are a lot of gods that people serve, a lot of different ones. There are a lot of religions that men have. But I want you to understand something. Jesus is not equal with them. See, when you study the Word of God, you find there are two powers, only two, and there's only two. There's God, and there's the devil. You can really offend somebody with what I'm about to say, but this is what the Bible teaches. You either serve God and you believe that He's God, or you serve a religion that comes from the devil. Because every false god, little g, in this world, it's born out of that false prophet. It's born out of that evil spirit. It's born out of that deceiver that wants to keep you from believing and trusting in the one true God. You lower him to the level of all other gods. That's why the Muslims, they accept Jesus, but they say, "Oh, he's just a prophet. He's just like Elijah, or he's just like Jeremiah, or he's just like Moses." But folks, I want to remind you, he said, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." By calling Jesus a prophet, you deny the fact that he became our substitute and took all of our sin upon himself. Now you think about this for just a minute. If anybody else could have been our substitute and took all of my sin upon themselves, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Do you know why Jesus is the one? Because there was nobody else who didn't have sin. There was nobody else that didn't need a substitute themselves. And that's why when Jesus was born, folks, I believe exactly what the Bible said. He was born of a virgin birth. God had a perfect plan at a perfect time. He's not a prophet. He's the Son of God. You know, we're living in a time today that everybody's got an opinion and they want to say it. And I begin to look at what the people say about Jesus. And I know we're living in a world, you know, when I was growing up, you'd come into the house of God and preachers would just preach and people knew what you was talking about. People come into the churchyard and they had respect for the house of God. You didn't worry about people breaking in and stealing your sound equipment. You didn't worry about people sitting out in the parking lot and drinking beer in the parking lot and turning donuts and tearing your gravel up. They had respect for the house of God. We're living in times today that people are drifting farther and farther away from God. And when you tell the truth, you have to bring it very clear for people to be able to understand he's the only way. I begin to look at what some said. This is Mahatma Gandhi, what he said about Jesus. He said, "I cannot say that Jesus was uniquely divine. He was as much divine as Krishna, Rama, or Muhammad, or Zoroaster." They say he's just a prophet. H.G. Wells, he said, "I am not a historian, I am not a believer, but I must confess that as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably at the very center of history." That's true. This is Napoleon. Napoleon said, Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? But upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him. So even those that don't necessarily believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they recognize the impact on this world. You know, America, it may not be everything we'd like for it to be, but it's still the most charitable country in the world. We still do more good all over the world than all other countries combined. We send missionaries all over the world. We have more that goes out to help the needy and the poor. And it's because of people who still believe that there is a living God. Some are very critical. Friedrich Nietzsche said Jesus died too soon. If he had lived to my age, he would have repudiated his doctrine. Didn't I tell you that every knee's going to bow? Remember that when I get excited. Just remember that. Friedrich Nietzsche's going to bow. Philip Schaff, without writing a single line, he set more pens in motion and furnished themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, learned volumes, works of art, and songs of praise than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. Now, sometimes folks want to say, well, you know, if you're really an intellectual and if you're really a thinker, you're not going to be a Christian. There's a Greek word for that, baloney. If you've ever read behind C.S. Lewis, you understand that C.S. Lewis is a very intellectual man. He's a thinker, and he's a Christian, and there are many others. But I want to read you what C.S. Lewis said. C.S. Lewis said, you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. So who is Jesus? Well, some say this, some say that. And then he asked Peter. He said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ. And in Matthew 15 and 6, chapter 16, verse 15, 16, says, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, when you begin to stop and think about this question, it's the most serious question of life. You know, we go through life and I can look back and I can remember when I was young and I was in school. You know, we had pressure to make good grades in school. There's where you're going to go to college. There's what are you going to do with your life. There's who are you going to marry. Oh, well, who are you going to spend your life with? But I want to tell you, as I stand here before you today, I still believe the most serious thing you'll ever do in your life is whether or not you accept Christ as your personal Savior. Because one thing for certain, life is very, very short. And you're only going to be here for a short time. And whatever you do with your life, you ought to do it for God's honor and glory. One time I was teaching to the youth over at Macklin on a journey. I used to teach journey classes regularly. And we were talking about living our life for the honor and glory of God. And sometimes people don't like this, but I want to tell you the exact truth of what I believe. Folks, it's better to live a young life that honors God and die young than it is to live a long life that dishonors God. Because this life is about service unto Him. He's our Lord and He's our King. When Peter said, thou art the Christ, all the way down inside. And then Jesus said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, upon this testimony of faith, upon these words of truth, he said, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, that's why, just as we read and we got these opinions, they may not believe who Jesus is, but it cannot be denied that more lives have been changed by his teaching than all others in the world combined. So who do you say that Jesus is? Here's the real question. What do you say? What do you say? You know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I want my children to believe that. You know, I've had the privilege of praying with my children that they would be saved. And before they were even old enough to understand, I had this little song that I used to sing with them. It said, "If you believe, then I believe. If you believe, then I believe. Because I want you to believe in Him." And when they were 2 years old and I was beginning to teach them to talk and I was beginning to teach them to sing, I'd sing that song. Because when I pick them up and I look at them, you know, I'd love for them to get... A guy told me this past week, he was all excited. He said, "My son's going to Princeton. He's got a scholarship for wrestling." And he said they have 34,000 applicants a year. And he said they can only take 1,600. And he said they get more perfect SAT scores than that. And he said, "My son only got in because he was a collegiate level wrestler." And he was so excited. And I thought about it. And I thought, that's great. But does your son know Jesus? That was in my heart. It was in my mind. As I look at our children, as I look at you young people, I'll tell you, the most important thing is that you know Jesus. Amen. Who do you say that Jesus is? That's what it's really about. And you can't go based on what mom and daddy thinks. You can't go based on what brother and sister think. You know, I grew up, my dad was a great man of God, but I felt conviction for myself. I had to pray for myself. I had to ask God to be my Lord. You know, and you say, "Well, I hadn't really thought about it." Well, I want to tell you something. God gave you the privilege to come to this church this morning. And you can't come into a house of God where the Spirit of God is, where there's singing like there is here, and there's worship like there is here, and not ever think about it, because the Spirit of God won't let you leave without thinking about it. "Well, I haven't really thought about it. Is it really that big of a deal?" Well, sure it is. Sure it is. Because if we look at life as we understand it, folks, we have a soul. And we have a spirit, and that soul and that spirit's going to live on in eternity with God, or it's going to live on in separation from God. And you need to think about that, because life is passing, and it's passing so fast. As I begin to look at what's going on, I rode down the road this week, and I said, "Well, the leaves are gone." Do you remember looking and saying, "Oh, I'll be glad when the leaves get here. I'll be so glad when it starts to cool off." We scraped the ice this morning. It was heavy. The leaves are gone. And if you don't get busy Christmas shopping, you'll wish you had. Why? Because time is passing. Time is passing very fast. Well, who do you say that Jesus is? Number one, you must make a decision. You must make a decision. Because God has allowed you to hear this message. See, you can no longer claim ignorance. And that's what people would like to do. They'd like to, you know, say, "Well, I just don't want to think about it right now. I just want to put it off. I just don't want to deal with that." But you know, the problem with that is when you stand before God, and it's just going to be like that. You know, I remember when I, was 22 years old, and my wife and I got married when I was 22. I started dating her when I was 21. When I was 20, I honestly thought I was going to be a hermit, Brother Tommy. I thought life was passing me by. I was afraid that if I didn't get married soon, I was going to grow up by myself. And I thought, "Lord, you know, life is... you got to do something." And now, I look, and that little girl that we had when we lived in that trailer when we first got married, and she was born, and I can remember her standing at the couch, and she'd go to sleep with her head laying on the couch beside me while I was sitting there. And up until the time she was about 4 years old, she thought she was a little boy because she'd watch hunting videos with me. Once she realized she was a little girl at four, she quit. You know what, folks? Now she's grown. And I got a little grandboy that's soon going to be five. And I wonder where the time went. I wonder where it went, and I look back on it and I think about decisions I made and things I did, and I say, God, did I do everything that I could do? And sometimes I wish I could go back and get some of those years again, but you cannot. That's why when God speaks to you, you have to take advantage. You cannot claim ignorance. And folks, I want you to understand something. No decision is a no decision. God loves you. God wants you to be saved. And you say, well, I can't do what you do. I can't. Number one, I can't do it either. Okay? I want to tell you something. I want God to do great things. But if he does it, it's not going to be because of me. Okay? Let's just get that where it needs to be. Okay, I'm only what I am by the grace of God. And you say, well, I can't live that kind of life. I can't do those kind of things. The reason you need Jesus is because he knows you can't do it by yourself. And he wants to help you be something that you'll never be outside of having the infill of his spirit in your life. Remember what C.S. Lewis says. I want to read this to you again, and I'm going to ask him to come with a song. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. He said, you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. See, I've chosen to fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. And he is my Lord. He's the Lord of my life. And folks, just like every man, there are things I struggle with turning over to him. Why? Because I want to be in control. But I've had to learn he's my Lord. He's my King. And when I hear these Christmas songs, they're not just holiday songs. They're songs about my Lord. And my favorite Christmas song of all is O Holy Night. Because it talks about the worship involved when the Savior came into the world in the manner that God chose to send him so that you and I could have life. Life eternal, but life here. And that's why we come into God's house and we have fellowship and we worship and we enjoy it, because he didn't just give us life eternally, but he gave us life here. He gave us an understanding of what the meaning of life is. You got to think about it. I ask you to rise to your feet. As they sing this song, the altar's open. Of course, at Hiram First Baptist Church, the altar's always open. Okay, I want you to be in a position that if God speaks to your heart and you need to pray, pray. Don't put it off for anybody around you. Young people, if you don't know for sure, this is a time to make sure. If you don't know that everything's where it needs to be, now's the time to go into a holiday season with real peace in your heart. You know, that's what it's all about. Amen. It's about peace with God. If God speaks to you as they sing, would you please come? Somebody would love to pray with you this morning. Amen? As they sing.
Much too young, unprepared for what's to come. A baby changes everything. Not a ring on her head, all her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. The man she loves, she's never touched. How will she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. And she cries. baby changes everything. She can feel he's coming soon. There's no place, there's no room. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. And she cries. And she cries. Oh, she cries.
Shepherds all gather round.
They gather. Changes everything, 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 everything. Hallelujah, 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 but now I'm found. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything.
The greatest gift that's ever been given is the gift of Christ. It's the gift of salvation to the world. You know, we're living in a country today, in a time today. I got a 9 and a 14-year-old. And I've asked them to make a Christmas list, and this is just the truth of where we're at. They've got so much stuff, it's hard for them to make a list anymore. When I begin to be asked about what do I want, there's really not anything I can think of, Brother Tommy. Now, folks, you're so blessed. But people are missing the most important blessing. I've talked to many people, I've counseled many people and talked to them, and they tell me about all their stuff, but they don't have peace with God. And then you stand in a church service like this, Brother Bruce, where the Spirit of God is so real. And God wants to give you what you don't have. But you got to come get it. You see, a gift is not a gift till it's received. And God's standing with his arms just like this. He said, I'd love to give you peace. I'd love for you to be able to go home this holiday season and have peace with God and enjoy it like you never have. We're going to sing one more song, one more verse. I don't care what it is. But God's speaking to somebody's heart. And somebody needs to leave here with peace with God. And I want you to understand, there's nothing I'd rather you have than that. That's what you need. One more song, one more verse. If God spoke to your heart, this is your opportunity.
Amen. This is Lori Ann. Lori Ann's got a praise she wants to give for the Lord this morning.
Hey, guys, I know, you know, we're new members, and a lot of you don't know our story. We have been, my family has been in turmoil, really, for 4 years. It's just been going downhill. My brother was brutally murdered 4 years ago, November 21st. And so the holidays are always hard. But, and then both my sons have been in turmoil, and some of y'all know Josh, our son that comes with Christopher, our precious little grandson. His wife picked up and left when the baby was 3 weeks old, and we discovered she'd been having an affair, and Christopher may not be ours. And she accused Josh of some horrible things, and we finally got all that. God has just been with us through all these struggles. We've had so many. I'd love to share my testimony or something sometime and really give all the details, but he has delivered us first from just supporting us and being there, going through everything, horrific thing we had to do with losing my baby brother, to all the turmoils, all the sickness, all the struggles, all the times. But we found out Tuesday that Christopher is ours. And he was ours. He was ours. But now we have a lot more power, and we have overnight visitation. I get to take him home and keep him till Tuesday night. Praise God. And, I mean, every praise when they sang that Friday night, and I shared with some people Friday night at the ladies' dinner that DNA had came back and that he was ours. It is just so tremendously awesome. All the pain and all the scars that we have been through and we carry, and we've been through a lot. And God has been there no matter what. And, I mean, I got mad when my brother was taken. I got to the point, I knew I was saved, but I was mad and I was hurt. And my parents, who are here, Max and Jesse Long, my mama could not hate that man that took my brother. She said, he's somebody's son. I can't hate another mother's son. My daddy has always brought me up. He's owned his own business for as long, I think, since I've been like two, and like hand to mouth. And he's always said, whatever has happened, I trust God for it, and it's come through. Daddy has always raised us, trust God. No matter what the world is saying, no matter what you see, trust God. And sometimes it's been last minute. But he has never, ever, 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 ever failed us. And I love that song, Every Praise. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is our strength. He has brought me to the point of, it took years, and it took a lot of people, and it took a lot of prayer. I didn't do it. He did it through me, of forgiving my brother's murderer. And not only to the point that I've forgiven him, because I forgave him, but still said I wanted him to have a heart like Pharaoh and go to hell. Well, that wasn't true forgiveness. So God had to work another year on me for that. Now he has laid on my heart, which I'm excited now that we have some custody schedules with Christopher and some more leeway on stuff. I'm going to get extremely involved with the prison ministry because he's laid that on my heart. Amen. And and he sent me here. You know, we were hurt by people who were supposed to love us at our old church. We were hurt bad and unjustly. And God sent us here. We visited several, and God sent us here. And when I walked in and saw Joe, I was like, okay, I'm good. So y'all just hang on no matter what. I know the holidays are hard for a lot of people. There's a lot of memories. You know, we have that season of loss around our holidays. But family is everything. And it's not only your blood, it's family. It's God. It's Chris. And okay, this is weird. My brother sends me pennies from heaven. There's penny on the floor. So Chris is here. I love you, mister.
Amen. 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 Church is about family. You know that when you're saved by the grace of God, we're born into the family of God. And sometimes you're actually closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ than your own blood family if they're not saved. We want to open the doors of this church. We're going to sing one verse, and this will be the last thing we do. We're not going to hold you very long. But if you're here and you want to be a part of a church where God is doing something, and folks, God is doing something here. And when I see what God's doing, and I'm overwhelmed, honestly, that he's given me the privilege to be here. God, can I tell you that God wants to do great things? He's just looking for people that are not getting his way. You know, and I want to tell you something. A lot of what God does, he doesn't do it because of us. He does it in spite of us. Okay? And if you're here and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, you've been saved by the grace of God, we'd love to have you be a part of this church family as they sing this song. Y'all shake hands with one another. You'll be at liberty to go. Remember, we got six angels up here. They're going to sing as we go out. Thank you for coming to church this morning.
God, my Savior.
every prayer.